It's the Odd Drunk Podcast, a very strange podcast, the drunkest show in the world. It's Jackson and Colton talking out of their ass. We don't care
as long as drinks are poured.
Sometimes we have our friends here. We will talk about anything.
Anything.
We don't care as long as we have beer. And if you let that whiskey ring. The Odd Drunk Podcast.
Hey, welcome to the Odd Drunk Podcast with your hosts,
hey.
Paxson and Jolton. We're here to talk about who would win in a fight, which celebrity would kill who, and who could we beat up, and whatever. Oscars edition. We totally prepared for this one.
But, yeah, would who would win in a fight, Cillian Murphy or Emma Stone?
Anyways, before we get into that, this is gonna be a loose episode. Straight out the gate. I want to make that clear. This might be one of those episodes where it hardly ends up being about anything. I mean, we have our topic, but you know how that goes.
Yeah.
Anyways. Yeah. How are you and Colton?
I'm doing good. Doing good. It's been a long week at work, but it's as we're recording this, it's Friday. It's the weekend.
Sure is.
I'm gonna go see Ghostbusters this weekend.
Yeah, I'm still thinking about it.
I'll talk about on one of the podcasts sometime.
Yeah, it's cool they're doing like a different movie now. Like a new idea, a new villain, not just a rehash, nostalgia bait. And it looks like they're phasing out the old Ghostbusters with Paul Rudd and Finn Wolfhard and whatever. But it also looks like Bill Murray and Ernie Hudson are going to play an active role in this movie, like not just be cameos.
Yeah,
which that's cool.
I don't know. It looks fun. I don't have as high expectations as
and Dan Aykroyd
compared to the last one. Ghostbusters Afterlife.
Honestly, I completely forgot this was coming out.
Yeah,
and then you told me about it, and I was like, oh yeah. Straight to streaming thing. Feels like it should be straight to streaming.
Yeah, Ghostbusters Afterlife, I really liked. I still really like. It felt like a pretty good, like, loving homage to Harold Ramis and the Ghostbusters in general, but more specifically to Harold Ramis. And they did it pretty well. This one looks fun, but it looks like more popcorn flick from the trailers. But yeah. I'm excited. I love the Ghostbusters. I'm going to wear my Ghostbusters jacket to the movie.
Of course. I got tickets for Godzilla X Kong for my niece and nephew. We're going to see that together.
Hell yeah.
Well, my girlfriend too, but yeah, we're going to all see that. And it just looks rad. It looks silly. And for a little bit, actually, I've never quite felt this way, but there's some people that felt this way, that the MonsterVerse was getting a little too silly. But it's like, have you ever watched any other Godzilla movie?
Right.
It usually 90% of the time gets a little silly.
I think people feel like the MonsterVerse is getting silly because 2014 Godzilla was a lot more serious.
Yeah,
than
and it's
all
honestly,
of the subsequent ones.
It's not as fun to rewatch because there's
good.
Really good stuff there. It's good, but there's a lot of shots in the dark where you can barely see what's happening. And there's a thing that happened where for some reason the DVD version was darker than the theatrical release, like literally.
Yeah.
Anyways. Now that we have Godzilla Minus One, a serious, dark, gritty, like war drama metaphor. And by the way, won the special effects Oscar. I know we talked about that, but I just want to mention that again.
We'll get to the Oscars here in a bit.
Oh, we're gonna have like special effects teams fight each other.
It's gonna be very loose. It's gonna be very loose. We haven't decided on if it's gonna be the special effects team fighting or if it's gonna be Godzilla fighting.
Well, I feel like, yeah, it would have to be.
We're gonna play it by ear.
But minus one, it was like now we have two different distinct flavors of Godzilla and monster movies, and now everybody can be happy again and they can shut up.
If you want a serious Godzilla, go watch the serious Godzilla.
And I like that we have both simultaneously.
We for a commentary not too long ago did the 1954 original Godzilla, which
amazing
by the way
film
is one of my favorite like films.
Yeah,
just because it's a masterpiece of a movie.
Same director did Seven Samurai, right?
No, they were friends. The
Toho,
yeah. So
Toho produced that.
Godzilla is directed by Honda. What's his name?
Yeah.
Then Kurosawa did Seven Samurai.
Either way,
Weekly Planet did make that mistake though. In their Caravan of
Garbage.
Oh, did
they do one?
They did a Caravan of Garbage like a couple days ago on
cool.
Godzilla, which by the way, we beat them to it.
Yeah, more promotion for
the
Weekly Planet. Like, they need it.
But they made that mistake. They, one of them mentioned Honda and Kurosawa, and they, the way they talked about
they
it on,
fucked
the,
up
on the show, they implied that they were the same director. But
either way, yeah, the original Godzilla is actually like a cinema classic.
Yeah,
much like the original King Kong, which I've only seen clips of. I haven't seen that movie actually.
I don't think I've seen it,
but I've heard, you know,
if I have.
And then we got the Peter
time.
Jackson one, which was
not a perfect movie.
I mean, Peter Jackson all over the place, didn't he? You know, it's you know, it's like a 4-hour movie.
Yeah.
But it's got a lot of good moments, but it also drags a lot. And there's a lot of like, is this the Titanic light? Like, you
do you think that the Hobbit
know,
almost killed Peter Jackson? Because
he didn't want
a Peter Jackson all over, but the studio made him.
They forced him to Peter Jackson all over the place.
Have you seen the behind the scenes of The Hobbit of like Peter Jackson?
Yeah, he was just tired and
looking
just
so defeated. Like, you know that meme of the guy standing
like
in the empty
Ian
swimming
McKellen
pool,
just standing in
like,
the green screen room.
Oh yeah,
You know, like
like crying. You know that meme of the guy standing in the swimming pool, like, what do I do now? That's Peter
Jackson,
on the set of The Hobbit. Like,
well, you know, he originally he wanted to do a King Kong movie even before Lord of the Rings or around the same time. I know he wanted to do one like in the 90s.
Yeah.
But either way, excited for Godzilla and Kong. Looks dope. I feel like every blockbuster kind of pretty much does this. Yeah, every blockbuster does this. They pretty much given away a whole movie in the trailers, but who really fucking cares?
Who cares? Yeah.
I just want to see Laser Lizard
and
Monkey fight Bigger Monkey and Ice Lizard. We have two ice-related villains coming out, and it's not Frozen. If Frozen 3 was coming out this year, it'd be like the, you know, the year of ice.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. It's just kind of coincidental that we have that. Because there is the other Titan they're fighting, which is like the ancient, the one that froze King Ghidorah, maybe, I think. At least that's the theory.
Yeah.
And then the other monkey one is controlling him, or her. We're not sure yet. Anyways,
I just want to see Big Lizard and Monkey.
Yeah.
Fight Monkey.
And there's a shot of Kong riding Godzilla in the battle briefly.
Yeah.
And I'm all for it.
All for it.
And have Godzilla ride Kong in the battle, you know, switch.
Yeah. Why
Not,
not? Why
you
not?
know, have
Just
him
do it.
do the have him play in a mariachi band for all I
Yeah.
care.
I want to see
Like,
the drop kick.
yeah, you know,
Want to
they
see
now
that.
that he's like the faster, like evolved Godzilla, I feel like
Yeah.
he should be able to do
And
that,
also
right?
the
It,
tone of the movies is
just
getting
do it.
silly
Do the
enough
drop
that I
kick.
think they can do it.
Do the drop kick, and maybe you want to save the flying thing for the third one, because I know Adam Wingard is trying to do a trilogy out of this.
Yeah.
Maybe save the flying, you know, where he curls up like a shrimp. Maybe save that for the third one. I would be happy if we got it now, but
It's a little bit
where
at a
else are
time,
we
though.
going?
Yeah.
Yeah, one at a time. One at a time. I don't know if he did that in the same movie. I can't remember, but anyways, yeah, that's that. Also a bit of a catch up. Yeah, I've been playing Helldivers 2. I know that's
Yep.
been kind of big in gaming lately because it's a double A game that has defeated all these other multiplayer games
Yeah.
like Suicide Squad, fucking Skull and Bones, which looks so trash. I mean, they're both, but Skull and Bones is just egregious. It's a pirate game, but it's really just a pirate ship game, and not even a good one at that. And yeah, that's just a sad thing. But Helldivers 2, absolutely rad. And yeah, it is hard on your PC, especially. I can't imagine how it'd run on the Steam
Yeah,
Deck. I don't even know if it
I don't
would,
know.
quite
I
honest.
looked into it a little bit. Some people
Not
claim,
without running
yeah,
potato settings.
some people
I mean,
claim you can get 30 to 40 frames a second on the Steam Deck, but I'm doubtful that 30 frames a second can keep up when there's so much shit happening on screen.
are you willing to, you know, burn your hands off while
Yeah.
spreading democracy? Are you that dedicated? But no, it's a great game, and it's just chaotic, and also, you know, a lot of bromancing going on in there. Like, me and this other player hugged each other
Nice.
right in the middle of an airstrike. Like we knew we were gonna die, so we
Yes.
hugged and just hugged each other, and then here come the airstrike. We're like, just hold me for
For
democracy. And
democracy.
yeah, there's a lot of things like that. And you're fighting like Terminators, and yeah, you're fighting bugs. It's very Starship Troopers. I like fighting the robot ones more just because they shoot back at you and they have like their own airstrikes and drop
Yeah.
ships. The bug planets is just pure chaos. They're all over you. You don't have a moment to think. It's just, you know,
Yeah.
that's the point. But yeah, there's
It
airstrikes.
looks great. I've heard great things. I've also heard it kind of I've seen this, not just heard it. It kind of on in online forums kind of points out the people who lack media literacy because it's the same people who don't understand that Starship Troopers is a satire,
Oh, it's, yeah,
are
it's
the same people
satire,
who
yeah.
don't understand that Helldivers 2 democracy thing is satire.
Yeah, because, like, you know, not only, you know, we're just carpet bombing the fuck out of these bugs and robots, but that they would understand, like, especially the bugs, like, that they understand the concept of democracy and that they're fascists or something.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the robots, the communist bastards. But anyways, I digress. But yeah, that's been a lot of fun. I also just started in Dragon's Dogma 2 last
Oh,
night.
yeah.
Made my guy look like Keanu,
Nice.
John Wick, basically. I already have a Bully Maguire pawn. That's some not nah, I didn't make it. Someone else
No,
made it. But I have
yeah.
him
That's
in
amazing.
my team. It's pretty cool.
See, the original
Yeah,
Dragon's Dogma is a great game. I've been meaning to replay it. Maybe I'll replay it while you're
there's an
playing
elephant in
Dragon's
the room,
Dogma
though.
too. But the pawn system is really fun, but I feel like memes have developed in
Memes
such a
have
way that the
developed,
pawn system
and
for
also
Dragon's
the
Dogma 2 can properly take advantage of memes.
Memes have developed and character creator. It's one of the best character creators I've seen in the game recently, honestly. And yeah, pretty much, I mean, it's a retelling. It pretty much plays the same way and has pretty much the same mechanics. There's new vocations and stuff like that. I haven't really gotten, I'm just a fighter right now. I haven't specialized. I literally only have like 4 hours of actual gameplay. The rest was character creator. But I got it on console because at least on the PS5, it can run about 30 to 40 FPS. If at minimum 30, I've never seen it dip below that so far. With my trained eye, I mean, I don't have the FPS counter there, but I think
my glasses
might be one you can
staring
use,
at a screen.
But it, you know, yeah, is that optimal? No. But on PC, that's got a lot of issues right now. People even, you know, really good, you know, hardware, really good systems, you know, tons of memory, graphic, you know, the RTX 4090, whatever the fuck, I don't know all the names of them. They're running issues, performance issues, just bad bugs. It's not like it's got mixed reviews right now just because of the performance. And it's not like the type, like people are like, we like this game, but it runs like crap. And
there's been a lot of games recently on PC that have been like that. I mean,
that's
not,
why I got
not
it on
too,
PlayStation.
Not too recent.
Because,
Jedi Survivor was like that.
Yeah,
I've heard by all accounts,
it had a really rough
It's
start.
A great game. It still runs like crap on PC from what I hear.
Well, like
they
Arkham
still
Knight
haven't
way back
fixed
then.
It. Yeah, but they eventually fixed Arkham Knight.
They fixed it and the mods are amazing on it.
I
now,
played
by the way.
Arkham Knight for the first time
Mod it.
After all of the launch problems. So my first experience with it was running well.
The good version.
You know. But
amazing game, by the way.
Oh yeah.
Age like a fine wine, still looks basically looks next gen to my eye.
Really good. Like just
crazy.
I want to play that game soon.
But yeah, Dragon
I've heard the Switch
I mean,
heard the Switch port is actually decent.
Yeah.
for what
but
you
Dragon's
expect.
Dogma I got it on console because I was like, okay, I have a decent enough gaming laptop, enough to play new stuff, but not like at the max settings and whatever. I have to tweak it and whatever. Some things I can run at high settings, some things I go medium and even low on some aspects, just to make it run, you know, 60 plus if possible. So when the director announced that it has an uncapped frame rate on consoles, red flag. That means they're running it on an uncapped frame rate so it can run as best as possible, because you do get a little bit more out of that if it's uncapped.
Yeah.
I mean, they could have just
usually
capped it at 30, which might have been a smart choice, honestly. So at least it's consistent and you're not getting bad drops. But, and I'm sure down the line, there's going to be patches and fixes and it will run well. They are the type of developer that cares. I mean, like the Resident Evil remakes, I mean, they didn't have the best start on PC and they're amazing on PC now. I mean, it wasn't as bad as this, but yeah, I mean, Dragon's Dogma 2, just be wary. If you question if you can run it on your PC at all, just get the console version. And if you're a snob, just wait. And if you think you can run it, go for it. I don't want this to put a bad taste in anyone's mouth about this game because it's having a rough start on PC with performance issues. Because all in all, it is exactly the type of game I've wanted. It's basically, I mean, in many ways, it's like live. What's the word? Real time combat, Baldur's Gate. Almost.
Yeah.
Like, it's very Dungeons and Dragons-y, you know. And there's a lot of stuff, you know, different attacks and stuff you do and all that. And like in your pond, you know, you have your party. But yeah, and the combat is amazing. I mean, great combat. But yeah, it's exactly the kind of game I've yearned for. And it's definitely gonna scratch
Oh
that
yeah.
itch, despite its issues.
It's not
But
the only launch this week that I want to talk about briefly either. The Star Wars
all right.
Battlefront Classic Collection
Oh, God.
released this
Jesus.
week.
Fuck.
I picked it
That's not
up.
even the same
I did actually
category.
pick it up. I picked it up on the Switch.
Really?
Yeah. And I picked it up
Was
after the
probably a better
launch.
choice than the PC version.
Well, I picked it
Maybe.
up because on the Switch because I had heard from a lot of the bad reviews that the single player still worked mostly fine. There were some bugs, but it was working. I got it so that I could
Tell me
play
about it.
Galactic Conquest on my Switch.
How's your experience been?
It's been great, but I have not touched the multiplayer. So I'm having a good time with it myself, but people were angry. I mean,
They
it's at like
fucked them up.
mostly
Oh, wait, three
negative.
servers or something like that? Something
Yeah.
stupid?
Well, it's at like mostly negative on Steam, and the reasoning is because the big selling point, at least for the
Multiplayer's
PC version, was that
basically
this was going to be
unplayable.
the 2005 Battlefront but with supported multiplayer, and
And
it
I
launched
hate to
and
tell you
there's
this,
like pretty much no multiplayer. It
it's
was
kind of just a lazy AI upscale.
It looks a little better.
I
The
mean, good for you
OLED
playing it on a
screen,
Switch. I don't
the
know if the
OLED.
classic version was on the
No,
Switch.
it wasn't. That's why I
So
got
at
it. Yeah.
least you that justifies it.
No, I wanted it anyway, and I wanted it so that I could play Galactic Conquest on my Switch while I'm laying in bed.
Fair.
And on the OLED screen, it's great, but like, yeah, it's just a disaster of a launch. They've patched a bunch of stuff already. Like within a couple days of launch, they put out a huge patch that fixes tons of stuff. Almost all the single player stuff is fixed now. Multiplayer stuff they're still working on, but they fix some
Oh
of
no, I
that.
shake my head.
Massive
Why?
patch. It's enough that's made kind of the Battlefront community cautiously optimistic. Most people are being like, despite that launch, if we get two or three more patches like this, it'll actually be in a good state. But I don't
Right.
know, my thought is just from how quickly they got this patch out and the size of the patch and all that and the types of issues that are having, it makes me think that Aspyr, whatever whatever they're called, just didn't play test
Aspire.
it.
Yeah.
It just sounds like they just didn't bother and doing any
You
play
know,
testing. It's the
and that makes me
problem.
think, like, with Capcom, with Dragon's Dogma, like, I'm wondering if, you know, the studio, the execs were just really pushing them to get it out as soon as possible.
Yeah,
And, you know,
it's
maybe that's why
possible.
we have some of these issues. Because it's the exactly the type of game that is, I mean, we're like in a fantasy, like we're in an RPG renaissance again. And
Yeah.
it's exactly the type of game that would be a hit and it should be a hit. I'm sure it still is and will be, especially on the console end. But yeah, as far as a PC, you know, it's rough. And there's also people bitching. Yeah, they have some microtransactions in the game to buy currency so you can get pawns and different items in the game early. It all at it, and you, it's not an overly grindy game anyways.
Yeah.
Honestly, and like just it's like $1.99 or whatever if you wanted to change your character's appearance, but you can do that for free in game anyways.
Yeah.
But with those kind of microtransactions, that is for the people that don't have time to grind and, you know, play for hours and hours that just
And I
kind of want
get
to
that.
enjoy the
Yeah.
game. So that's not agreed. I
What I
don't
don't
get
like
your
is when
panties in a twist over that.
microtransactions are where the game is balanced in such a way that encourage microtransactions.
As far as I heard
Assassin's
from
Creed. Yeah.
reviews and from what I've experienced, it's not. it's just a kind of like get an early pass, that kind of
Yeah.
thing. But it's a single player game anyways. It's not like you're, well, it's, yeah, it's pretty much single player. I mean, yeah, you got the pawns, but it's not like you're competing against people or whatever that can just buy, play to win and what pay to win. I mean,
Right.
it's for your own. It's if you want to just eliminate a few hours of grinding. I mean, honestly, and it's not, like I said, it's a pretty rewarding game with combat and with just out in the world. Like you find stuff all the time, enemies drop gold and whatever to cur I forget the currency to get new pawns and whatever, but it's pretty readily available. Like honestly, if you're putting any good time into it, like it's not a grind heavy game. Now, if it's a grind heavy game like Skull and Bones,
Yep.
which I heard is so grindy and so frustrating and like unfun, like your ship has a stamina bar, and I've also
Heard about
heard
that.
I watched the Angry Joe review. I also heard that you almost always have a headwind, that your ship has a stamina bar, and yeah, you can't do any of the fun stuff like swashbuckling. You
Yeah.
can't just stop anywhere and jump off your ship and go explore a
I heard
island and
one reviewer
whatever.
basically say, Skull and Bones is if they took Black Flag and got rid of all of the stuff that they liked and kept all the stuff that was frustrating.
If you took Black
Like,
Flag, took all of the any of the on foot exploration out, pretty much,
yeah.
took that out, took the and like the boarding is just a cutscene.
Yeah, I've
Like
heard,
when you
yeah.
conquer an island or whatever, cutscene. When you
It's like it's
and all
like Ubisoft saw everyone saying, "Oh, the ship combat's the best part of Black Flag," which it is. And then took that as meaning the ship combat is the only good part about Black Flag. When no, it's the best part of
it's
Black
the sum of
about
the
Black
parts,
Flag,
not
but like Black Flag is good because you can also stop and jump off your ship and murder redcoats. You know,
and
like
also it's so grindy and so like frustrating. Like I heard you have to like get blueprints to get new weapon upgrades and whatever, and like they're extremely rare, or you could get the microtransactions and get them that way. But it's very loot boxy and it's not even fun. Like at least Suicide Squad, that looks kind of fun, like stupid game fun, like Fortnite-y and with all its flaws. But then Skull and Bones is just like unfun and grindy and microtransaction-y.
Yeah.
No, man. Why? I mean, in development basically for 10 years.
Yeah. Insane.
With multiple delays and layoffs and different entirely different teams, you know, I'm sure the game was actually pretty good at one point, probably like 5 years ago, and then they were like, oh no, we got to pivot to live service, or you
Yeah,
know.
what I heard is they didn't just delay it multiple times. They practically restarted production multiple times.
I'm sure there was a
Which
good game in there.
means probably the original concept of the game is nothing
In
like
fact,
what was released.
I'm sure it was pretty Black Flag-esque
Yeah.
in the early
I would
stages.
still take a game that's essentially Black Flag but without the assassin stuff.
It's a pirate game, yeah.
I would still take that.
A multiplayer open world pirate game.
Yeah. Like, but
Hello. I mean, Disney Pirates did it better 20 years ago.
yeah, the Pirates of the Caribbean Online.
Yeah.
Yeah, we played a shit ton of the fan remake. It's good.
Yeah. And
It's
then you have
actually,
Sea
I
of
think it's
Thieves.
actually a game. It actually kind of holds up. But
Yeah, there's the remake, the fan-made one.
yeah, the fan made remake.
Or that's what we played.
Yeah, I think that game actually kind of holds up. I mean, for being a MMO with MMO gameplay features from 2005, but you know,
Oh yeah,
holds up though.
it's still that.
Yeah, but for being what it is, it's fun, and Skull and Bones apparently is not.
All right. Anyways, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking a. I was feeling classic today. I'm drinking some Coors Banquet.
Oh, good choice.
The one of the
What the
best
heck?
time best of all time beers, according to your dad. But I think
Well,
he's not totally wrong. I mean, is it
it's
my
if
favorite
you do
beer?
just want.
Not necessarily, but is it like the classic?
It's a
Totally.
comfort beer.
It's a comfort beer. Yeah.
I've actually thought about getting into Miller High Life again. I used to be really into those. The champagne of
The champagne of
beers.
beers, yeah.
I watched this movie where they said that. Oh, and the holdovers. There's a running joke for part of the movie. They go to a bar. Paul Giamatti and the student go to a bar. He pressures them. He takes them. And he's like, okay, you just get a burger and we get out of there. And they make a Miller High Life joke and like repeatedly characters say, you know what they call it, the champagne of beers. I don't know if it was like some kind of weird plug within the movie or like a jet. It was stupid, but
Yeah.
good movie though. Really good. I would
I've heard it's
recommend the
great. Yeah.
holdovers for sure.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, oh, and I'm drinking before I speak of which, Full Moon Orange Wheat Beer
Ah.
from Mud Shark Brewery. Yeah, it's got like the AZ flag on it.
Halloween looking beer there.
Well, it's AZ flag,
Well,
like
yeah, but I
distorted.
mean, like, full moon.
Well, yeah,
Yeah.
full moon's coming up soon, right?
I
But either way,
don't know.
it is 8.5%, and it is very tasty.
Nice.
And the description's in cursive and kind of a hard to read font. Out of Lake Havasu.
Oh.
Lake Havasu City.
Nice. Very nice.
Which I would very much like to visit
I've
someday.
been nearby.
You have to get special permission
I've been to the
from the
reservation,
tribe.
but not to the
Oh, really?
actual lake.
Oh, okay. Not the lake. Yeah.
Well, there's there it's the same reservation. The reservation, because it's like right next to the Grand Canyon. And there's
Yeah.
a part of it that's like an offshoot of the Grand Canyon. It's the Havasu Falls. And I years ago went backpacking through there and spent just like a I well
Oh, you've been to
quote unquote
Havasu Falls?
yeah so quote
Beautiful.
unquote
Jealous.
backpacking. I say backpacking, people hear that and think that I spent an entire week hiking. No, I hiked the
Entire
15
summer.
miles in or whatever it is, and then set up a
Okay.
tent next to the river and then
Nice.
sat around for a week before hiking out. But
Nice. Nice.
it was nice. Yeah. Great, beautiful.
Anyways,
One of the most beautiful
it
places
is,
I've been.
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, what is this
And I
noise?
ran into
Okay.
people I knew, which was not the intention. That's you do
No,
something
it's
like
fine.
that to get away from people you know, right?
Yeah, you get
And
away
then
from people in
while I
general, yeah.
was out there, because there's plenty of people out there, it's a popular camping spot. You have to like reserve it,
Or was
like
it someone you liked at least?
yeah, they're cool people. They were cool, but they were
It would be
people
annoying if you met someone
from
you
the
hated
church when
and
I
you
was
didn't
growing
like.
up. But they were cool ones. I
Right.
remember I was camping and I walked down to one of the falls, like one of the pool areas, and was exploring a little bit, and I turned like around some trees, and they were hanging out in the river, and I'm like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? And that was it. And
Oh, excuse
then
me.
I avoided them for the rest of the time.
Anyways, let's do this thing. So, I'm gonna get ChatGPT ready, or
I
maybe
have
I should
Chat
try
GPT pulled up, yes. So
Metaverse chat or whatever. I don't know.
we're talking about the Oscars, and we're winging it a little bit, but we thought it would be a fun idea to, in
Know, the
classic
thing that
Aw
happened a
Drunk,
couple weeks ago.
classic Aw Drunk style, to determine who would win in each category, not by their skills and their merits, but by who would win in a fight.
Who would win in a fight, like in a parking lot or like in
Yeah.
a dive bar?
Ori
I'm not
originally
sure
the
what a
idea
setting
was
is.
originally the idea was going to be
We
who
can still do that.
is most likely to beat us in a fight.
are who we could beat in a fight. That would be the question, because
I think
most
it,
of
it
them would beat us.
well I well I mean when I say us, I mean us collectively as the Odd Drunk Podcast.
Well, yeah, the two of
It's
us.
2-on-1. So
Well,
who
yeah.
is most likely to be able to take is to like
We've
quickly
done this
take us in a
concept.
fight. Yeah.
Yeah.
So but we also
A
thought,
couple times.
well, Jackson here thought, which I like this, that we should bring some ChatGPT into it and have some fun with some AI.
Yeah, because we've
Because
done the
why not?
AI deaf battles.
Yeah.
Can't remember
So
my
we'll go
fucking.
through these Oscar categories, not necessarily all of them, just the ones we feel like.
But you have to pay for it now, dude.
For ChatGPT.
Yeah. I can't remember my login.
I'm logged in through my Google account.
Okay, there we go. I got it open on my phone.
I have all of
It
our
was easier to get on my
previous
phone for a reason.
previous things
Okay.
saved here too.
Cool. All right. How do we
All
want to
right.
do this?
All
Do
right,
we want to go the most recent year first, and then, or do we want to?
what?
Man, we should have put this together before
Recent
we
year.
recorded, but
What are you talking
that's all
about?
right. You want to do the recent Oscar? Are we just doing Oscars, Academy Awards?
Think so.
Are we mixing another? Okay.
Are we doing previous Oscar years too?
I think so. I
Okay.
think we are.
Yeah. Okay. That's
You
well,
know, Will
so
Smith
if
got the
we're gonna do
slap.
previous years too, let's keep it to like, best actor, supporting
Best
role,
actor,
leading role,
director. I want to
director.
fight some directors.
Yeah. So
I
let's keep it
want
to
to. You know,
best
Christopher Nolan
actor.
doesn't have a. He doesn't have a computer,
Such a
or a
Christopher Nolan
phone.
thing. That's
He would write you a letter.
what a
Let's see.
nerd. What a nerd.
And also, when we well when chat we'll see what the AI decides, like what constitutes these people. Like, is it gonna use like their characters' abilities and whatnot? Are we gonna do that? I don't know. It's a case by case
Yeah,
basis.
we're winging it. It's whatever we
So like
whatever sounds fun
if
to
we
us.
fight Robert Downey Jr., is he gonna be Iron Man, or is he gonna be a guy from Oppenheimer? I guess the guy from Oppenheimer.
I guess.
Does he have a nuke? Is he just gonna hire a bunch of security guards to beat us, to kill us, because he's rich? That
I don't
kind of
know.
thing. Does someone have a knife?
So do you
I'm
want
free.
to do you want to do you want to so we'll, obviously we'll do the most recent year. But
We'll start there.
we can also kind of cherry pick previous years if whatever we feel
Yeah,
like.
and do
I'd
you
say
want to
let's just do
have
it that way.
do you want to have? Okay, I'm gonna start plugging in for
Right.
this last Academy Awards.
We'll start both plugging in stuff. You start with actor in a leading role, and I'll start with actor in a supporting role. How about that? That was
Oh.
we'll start plugging stuff in.
So
And
we're gonna do winners or nominees?
oh, I thought we would
You
do
wanna get the
like
nominees over with?
I thought we would do like all the nominees, and then we as the Odd Drunk Podcast would present the award for actor in a leading role to whoever won the all out fight. That's what I was assuming.
So they're all gonna fight at once?
I don't know.
Just
What
a huge brawl?
That's
Here,
what I
you do it
assume.
how you think you do it how you think you should do it.
Okay.
I'll do it how I think I should do it, and we'll see what happens.
Okay.
I also want to say, there's no way. Well. Like Cillian Murphy, he's Irish. Come on, he's gonna win.
Oh, yeah.
He's, anyways, so Bradley Cooper versus I don't even know who some of these people are. Colman Domingo. I'm only gonna do the people I know who they are. No, I'm just kidding. That's mean. You'll be included in this dumb thing. Paul Giamatti. I feel like he's got a trick up his sleeve, you know. He was Sam Adams in one movie, right? Or no, he was John Adams.
Yeah,
He was Rhino.
in a mini series. Yeah, he
He
was Rhino.
got the he was dyed blue in that one movie.
Oh, Big
Whatever
Fat Liar.
the
Yeah,
Big Fat Liar,
Frankenweenie's.
yeah. That movie I hated as a kid. Jeffrey Wright, I feel like he's got a gun. He was in the Hunger Games. So we're doing best actor nominees, actor in leading role, or are we gonna do just like every nominee
No,
in a
like
brawl?
in categories, going by category.
Okay, so the best
Yeah.
actor nominees, I'm
So
just gonna put this.
I wrote a scenario here. This is for actress in a leading role. I asked ChatGPT write a scenario where Emma Stone, Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Holler, and Carey Mulligan all fight until there's only one actress winning.
All right. I saw Poor Things, some of it. Weird movie. There's a lot of sex in it.
There's a lot of dialogue. It's writing a lot of dialogue. I don't like this.
The AI doesn't want me to do this. I'll take that to the fight to the death part. Oh, God. It must be ethical.
All right. I'm gonna start reading this.
Gosh, it's gotten so lame.
The scene opens in a dimly lit abandoned warehouse. Five actresses, Emma Stone, Annette Bening, Lily Gladstone, Sandra Holler, and Carey Mulligan, s stand in a circle, facing each other with determination etched down their faces. They're all dressed in attire suitable for a fight, each exuding an aura of confidence mixed with anticipation. Emma Stone stepping forward. Ladies, we all know why we're here. Only one of us can emerge victorious. Let's settle this once and for all. Annette Bening nods, agreed. May the best actress win. Without another word, the five actresses tense up, readying themselves for the impending clash. Emma Stone makes the first move, lunging towards Carey Mulligan with lightning speed. Mulligan dodges gracefully, retaliating with a swift kick aimed at Stone's midsection. Stone staggers back, but quickly recovers, locking eyes with Mulligan as they circle each other. Lily Gladstone sneaks up behind Sandra Holler. Sorry, Sandra, this is nothing personal. Sandra Holler whirls around just in time to block Lily's attack, engaging her in a fierce hand-to-hand combat. Meanwhile, Annette Bening watches as the chaos unfolds, biding her time, waiting for the perfect moment to strike. Annette Bening to herself, patience, Annette, patience. Carey Mulligan and Emma Stone continue their intense duel, exchanging blows with fluidity that showcase their skill. Suddenly, Mulligan sees an opening and seizes the opportunity, landing a powerful punch to Stone's jaw. Stone stumbles, momentarily stunned, giving Mulligan the upper hand. Carey Mulligan breathing heavily. It's over, Emma. But before Mulligan can deliver the finishing
Oh
blow,
no.
Annette Bening
Plot
intervenes,
thickens.
launching herself into the fray with surprising agility. She
Annette
aims a kick
Bening,
at
who the
Mulligan,
fuck?
catching her off guard and sending her reeling backwards.
Annette
Annette Bening
Bening.
locking eyes with Mulligan. You're not the only one who can
Oh
fight,
yeah,
kid.
she's like an elderly. That's okay. That's
As the
creepy,
battle
bro.
rages on,
Bro.
alliances shift and strategies evolve. Lily Gladstone and Sandra Holler engage in a fierce struggle, each refusing to back down, while Emma Stone, Carey Mulligan, and Annette Bening exchange blows with a ferocity that borders on desperation. There's like a three-way fight going on.
They're fighting over the award.
Yeah,
That,
this
that's what
is
I
yeah,
imagine.
this is in a
But Emma Stone
climax.
wouldn't last as long. I hate to say this. I mean,
Yeah.
she already died in Spider-Man 2. Next snap.
Oh, hold on. I need to.
He's doing something. He's
I forgot
tying a
to plug in
shoe.
my
He's
laptop.
plugging
All
his laptop. Oh,
right.
it was gonna die.
Yeah. In a climactic moment, Sandra Holler manages to overpower Lily Gladstone, sending her crashing to the ground. But before she can celebrate
Oh,
her
jeez.
victory, Annette Bening swoops in, launching a
That feels
surprise attack
racist.
that catches Sandra off guard. S Annette Bening facing Sandra Holler. It's just you and me now. Sandra Holler squares. So Sandra Huller took on the other two all by herself. There, squares her shoulders, determination gleaming in her eyes as she prepares to face Benning head on. The two actresses circle each other wearily, waiting for the perfect opportunity to strike. In a sudden, unexpected move, Sandra Huller launches herself at Annette Bening, catching her off guard with lightning-fast series of punches and kicks.
He is a German actress, so.
Yeah. Bening stumbles backwards, momentarily disoriented, giving Huller the opportunity she needs. Sandra Huller delivers a final, devastating blow, sending Annette Bening crashing to the ground. As the dust settles, Sandra Huller stands victorious, the last actress standing amidst the wreckage of the fierce battle.
Wait, who won?
Sandra Huller. So,
Sandra, that makes sense.
So, the Odd Drunk Podcast is honored to for actress in a leading role to present the award to Sandra Huller for Anatomy.
So now we have to fight her or whatever? Or no, they just win.
No, they're just.
We'll fight the people later.
Yeah, because the actual winner of the Oscars was Emma Stone, but our winner is Sandra Huller.
Oh, okay, so that's how you're framing it. All right, so in the dimly lit car park, four men, Bradley Cooper, Coleman Domingo, Paul Giamatti, and Jeffrey Wright. Wow, what a batch of interesting characters. They find themselves unexpectedly pitted against each other, each armed with what they happen to have on them. Tension fills the air as they assess the situation. Bradley Cooper, quick on his feet, reaches into his pocket and pulls out a sturdy Swiss Army knife. He would have
yeah,
one.
Yeah, he would.
He definitely would. I feel like he would have one in his shoe, too, you know. a couple hundreds in there, too. Scanning the area for any potential threats. Coleman Domingo, known for his resourcefulness, produces a set of keys. Yeah, key in the hand.
Yeah.
You know, make the key claw. Gaze ready as he calculates his next move. Paul Giamatti, not one to be underestimated, reveals a heavy-duty flashlight, his expression determined as he prepares for whatever comes his way. Jeffrey Wright, calm and collected, retrieves a length of sturdy rope from his jacket pocket, his mind already strategizing his approach. As they cautiously circle each other, tension mounts, and they suddenly, a loud clang echoes through the car park. Startled, they turn to see a metal pipe rolling towards them, seemingly out of nowhere. Without hesitation, each man lunges for the pipe, grappling one another in a frenzied struggle for control. The pipe just rolls down. They're like, oh,
men.
In the chaos, Jeffrey Wright manages to secure a firm grip on the pipe, wielding it with precision and skill. With a swift and decisive strike, he incapacitates his opponents one by one, leaving them sprawled on the ground, defeated. As the dust settles, Jeffrey Wright stands alone in the empty car park, victorious. With a nod of acknowledgement to his fallen adversaries, he calmly exits the scene, his victory undisputed. Jeffrey Wright just beat him all in the head with a lead pipe.
That was quick. Damn.
Without much, any resistance. Good for him. I heard American Fiction's actually a really, really good movie too. And
yeah, I
really
want to see
liked
that
him
one.
As Jim Gordon.
I like, yeah.
And he's a good actor.
So that means for actor in a leading role.
Right. Oh, that is leading role, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to include Cillian Murphy.
Oh.
God, fuck.
Do we do it again? Man. We got to do it again, I guess.
Well, let's have Jeffrey Wright fight Cillian Murphy mano y mano.
Mano y mano. That's fair. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I mean, be warned, Cillian Murphy's got the Fighting Irish in him.
I'm adding short in what I'm asking. I'm writing a short scenario, so ChatGPT keeps it pretty short.
Oh, yeah. You're doing one? Okay, fair.
Oh, I'm just preparing the next category here.
Oh, just so this doesn't go 3 hours?
Yeah. But yeah, so Jeffrey Wright versus Cillian Murphy.
There must be a victor. And a deserted car park. Okay, this is after Jeffrey Wright defeated all the other nominees, right?
Nice. So
there's
Jeffrey
blood
Wright,
on the pipe, blood in his hands, death stare.
He's
in the
got,
car park.
He's got corpses laying around him,
and here comes
Cillian Murphy.
Here comes Cillian Murphy from the shadows, Scarecrow style.
Yeah. Peaky Blinders style.
And Peaky Blinders.
Yeah.
I think he's got the Peaky Blinders outfit on for a good brawl.
Yeah.
But he's also got like the fear gas in his wrist, you know, in his pocket.
Why not? I assume in this fictional world that we're working in, actors have vague abilities of all the characters they've played.
Whatever. Yeah. They're famous characters. Maybe there's the atom bomb he just set off and it's about to go off. I don't know. Jeffrey Wright and Cillian Murphy find themselves facing off. The tension is palpable between them. Both men are armed only with their wits and whatever they have on them. So they took the pipe away for this.
It
fair.
Okay.
Jeffrey Wright, with his calm demeanor, assesses the situation. Shut up. What? Siri. While Cillian Murphy... Siri interrupted me. While Cillian Murphy... God, where am I? Jeffrey Wright, with his calm demeanor, assesses the situation, while Cillian Murphy, his piercing gaze betraying his determination, sizes up his opponent. With a sudden burst of movement, Cillian Murphy reaches into his pocket and produces a switchblade. Aha, Peaky Blinders.
Of course he does.
Flicking it open with a menacing click.
He just stabs
Jeffrey
him.
Jeffrey Wright, unfazed, stands his ground, his mind already formulating a plan.
Good.
As they circle each other, the tension mounts, and then in a split second, they both lunge forward. Cillian Murphy slashes with his blade, but Jeffrey Wright swiftly dodges, his agility proving to be his greatest asset.
Damn.
And a swift counterattack. Jeffrey Wright disarms Cillian with a well-timed kick, sending the switchblade clattering to the ground. With lightning speed, he seizes the opportunity, pinning his opponent to the ground with expert precision.
Wow.
Breathless and defeated, Cillian Murphy concedes, acknowledging Jeffrey Wright as the victor. With a nod of respect, Jeffrey extends a hand to help his fallen adversaries to his feet. Their brief but intense encounter coming to an end, with Jeffrey Wright emerging as the undisputed winner of the showdown in the car park.
Damn.
What other movies has he been that gives him those abilities?
I don't know. Hunger Games.
He was in Hunger Games.
Yeah.
Guy.
Yeah.
In Hunger Games. He was Jim Gordon. He was in a lot of other movies. He was the Watcher. The voice of. So maybe that gives him some kind of like.
Right.
Omnipotent, you know, not omnipotence, but omnipresent. But no,
he can kind of tell what's going to happen.
I feel like it got worked into there.
Well,
X-Men 97, by the way,
yeah,
really good.
Hell yeah. I'll have to watch that. So, I guess that means the Odd Drunk Podcast now would like to present for actor in a leading role the award to Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction. For beating everyone else in a fight. Yeah.
Well, not for that movie. I haven't seen it. It looks good, but for beating everyone else. That's what he wins.
Yeah. All right. So I've prepared. I figure you would do actors. I would do actresses here. I've got actresses in a supporting role prepared.
I'm gonna prepare mine.
I put short scenario, like write a short scenario in my description to keep it pretty tight here.
All right.
So this is actress in a supporting role. The scene is set in an abandoned warehouse, illuminated only by flickering overhead lights. Devine Joy Randolph, Emily Blunt, Danielle Brooks, American Ferrera, and Jodie Foster all stand facing each other in tense silence, the air thick with anticipation. Devine Joy Randolph stepping forward. Ladies, it's time to settle this once and for all. Only one of us will walk out of here victorious. Without another word, Emily Blunt launches herself into action, aiming a swift kick at Danielle Brooks. Brooks
She's played a lot of action movies.
Yeah, she's quick on her feet, I imagine. Danielle Brooks ducks just in time, retaliating with a series of quick jabs. Meanwhile, American Ferrera and Jodie Foster engage in a fierce exchange of blows, their determination evident in every moment. Devine Joy Randolph, with her raw power and agility, becomes a force to be reckoned with, dodging attacks and delivering powerful strikes. You know what? Yeah, I see that. Yeah. I think she could beat me up in a fight too.
Devine Joy Randolph?
Yeah.
Yeah, she was in
She's really good.
Yeah, she was in Holdovers. She was really good in that, and definitely beat us both up.
I think she was the actual winner for the Oscars.
Yeah. You know, after seeing the movie, I mean, yeah, she deserves it, but she had some strong contenders there, especially Emily Blunt and Oppenheimer. But I guess I wanted to clean sweep it.
The warehouse echoes with the sounds of grunts and the clashes of fists as the actresses battle out unwavering determination. In a sudden, unexpected move, Jodie Foster manages to overpower America Ferrera, sending her staggering backwards. Ferrera, refusing to give up, fights back with renewed vigor, but Foster's resilience proves too much. That's surprising. I would expect America Ferrera to be pretty kick-ass in a fight.
Right.
Meanwhile, Emily Blunt and Danielle Brooks engage in a fierce duel, each refusing to yield an inch. Blunt's precision and agility are matched by Brooks' strength and ferocity, creating an intense standoff. As the battle rages on, alliances shift and strategies evolve. Each actress fights with all her might, knowing that only one can emerge victorious. In the end, it comes down to a final showdown between Devine Joy Randolph and Emily Blunt. Both actresses are bruised and weary, but the determination is unwavering. With a fierce battle cry, Rudolph launches herself at Blunt, delivering a series of powerful blows that send her stumbling backwards. With one final divisive strike, Devine Joy Randolph emerges as the last actress standing, victorious among
the
wreckage.
She's the first one to retain her award.
Mm-hmm.
She's the first one to retain her award as winner of Best Supporting Actress.
Yeah, actress in a supporting role. Devine Joy Randolph for beating up
Watch
everyone
the
else in a fight. Yeah.
Holdovers it's good. Paul Giamatti's a disgruntled history professor. I mean,
I want to see that. I've heard
that
it's really
coming
good.
Of age thing. It's kind of a Christmas movie. I mean,
hell yeah.
Not the best time of year for that, but it's only kind of a Christmas movie. Just like Die Hard is kind of a Christmas movie.
Anyway, right, what
so
do we
got
next?
Best. The supporting actors.
Great. And are we doing actors directors too and then moving on to a different year?
You can get the directors ready. I got this one ready and I'm not going to elaborate anymore. I changed up the setting a bit. The empty football field becomes the arena for an epic showdown amongst Robert Downey Jr.,
an
Sterling
empty football
K. Brown.
Field. I like it.
Yeah, no, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide.
Yeah, that's a good setting.
Robert De Niro, Ryan Gosling, and Mark Ruffalo, each empowered with the abilities from their iconic film roles. Robert Downey Jr., drawing on the genius of Tony Stark, dons his Iron Man suit, complete with all his high-tech weaponry and flight capabilities.
I think that's a little unfair. But, okay.
Well, Mark Ruffalo's in this too. Let's see what it does with him.
We'll see.
Sterling K. Brown taps into the wisdom and leadership of Randall Pearson, channeling his empathy and strategic thinking. Robert De Niro transforms into the ruthless mob boss from The Godfather Part 2, wielding his influence and cunning to manipulate the situation. So he's so he's Robert De Niro. I mean, they didn't really change much there. Ryan Gosling. Oh, they didn't choose Ken or anything. Ryan Gosling harnesses the skills of the skilled driver from Drive, maneuvering through the field with precision and agility, while Mark Ruffalo unleashes the uncontrollable rage of the Hulk, his massive strength
Nice.
and durability making him a formidable opponent. As the battle ensues, Iron Man soars through the sky, raining down blasts of energy upon his adversaries. Randall Pearson rallies his allies, and I guess he's got a mob with him, inspiring them to work together to outmaneuver their opponents. The mob boss, De Niro, orchestrates a complex web of alliances and betrayals. Wow, this is all happening quickly on a football field, manipulating the course of the battle from the shadows. So he's like
I
in a
don't know how
stand
you do that,
somewhere.
but okay.
But it is the combined might of the Hulk's brute strength and the Hulk's agility that ultimately turns the tide of the battle. With thunderous roars, the Hulk smashes through obstacles and adversaries alike, his unstoppable rampage leaving chaos in the wake. In the end, amongst the rubble of the football field, Mark Ruffalo emerges as the victor, his primal fury proving to be the deciding factor in the epic clash of titans. With a triumphant roar, he stands alone, the undisputed champion of an empty football field. I like how it phrased it like. So Mark Ruffalo wins. He had the powers of the Hulk. A bit unfair, but I wanted it to be interesting. Yes. All right. So Mark Ruffalo is the, and now we got to have them all fight. That's what we're gonna do.
What
From different categories.
So I've got
That's what we're gonna do.
so you
We figured it out.
We'll prepare that after this, once we know who wins this one. This is the last one, the category we'll do
No.
from this year. Directors.
Yeah, we're not gonna do
Yeah.
editors and stuff like, sorry.
All
They're
right.
so important,
And
you know.
I've added in as a addition to for ChatGPT, the directors all have powers from the movies that they have directed.
Wow. From the movies they directed. All right.
So we'll see what it comes up with
Martin
here.
Scorsese is gonna have a lot of mobster stuff going on, man. I can
I already
tell you
see the
that.
words Taxi Driver in here. Yes. The scene
Christopher Nolan's gonna
unfolds.
have time dilation and dreams and
The
Batman.
scene unfolds in a surreal, otherworldly arena where gravity seems to ebb and flow and the very air
As
crackles with
Inception.
anticipation. Yes. Christopher Nolan, Justine Triet. Triet, I think I'm mispronouncing that.
Great.
Martin Scorsese, Yorgos Lanthimos. I also think
Course,
I'm mispronouncing that. And Jonathan Glazer stand at
we only know like two of these
opposite
people.
ends of the arena, each emanating an aura of powerful, a power imbued with the essence of their cinematic
Oh, this is
creations.
like Super Saiyans. Like,
Yeah,
this
this is Dragon Ball Z, but
they're all emanating
directors.
energy and
Christopher Nolan stepping forward. Directors, it seems we've found ourselves in a realm where our cinematic visions manifest as reality, but only one of us shall prevail. Without
Of
hesitation,
course,
Martin
he would be there
Scorsese.
with all the
Of
exposition.
course he would. Martin Scorsese conjures the ferocity of Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver. His eyes ablaze with intensity. He charges forward, wielding a shotgun, his every movement echoing with the grit and determination of his iconic characters. Justin Triet channels the psychology and complexity of his characters from Sybil, her gaze, or Justine Triet, her gaze piercing as she taps into the psyche of her opponents. She manipulates the very fabric of reality, creating illusions that to distort her adversaries. Lanthimos, I'm definitely mispronouncing that. I'm sorry.
He did Poor Things.
Embraces the absurdity and unpredictability of the lobster and the killing of the sake of a sacred deer. He
Oh, that
wields
lobster.
his words like weapons, uttering cryptic phrases that bend the laws of logic and reason, leaving his opponents bewildered and vulnerable. Jonathan Glazer draws upon the haunting atmosphere of Under the Skin. His movements fluid and hypnotic, he has the ability to blend seamlessly into the shadows, striking with stealth and precision like the enigmatic
Nice.
beings in his film. Christopher Nolan channels the mind-bending intricacies of Inception and Tenet. He manipulates time and space,
I
bending
told you.
reality to his will with calculated precision. His intellect is a weapon capable of outmaneuvering even the most formidable opponents. The battle erupts in a symphony of chaos and spectacle, each director unleashing their unique cinematic powers upon their rivals. Scorsese's shotgun blast. I like Scorsese just has a shotgun. They're all of them are like
Like reality
reality
bending or whatever.
altering stuff, and Scorsese's just like a shotgun. Shotgun blasts through the arena while Triet's illusions wrap the very fabric of reality. Lanthimos' cryptic words sow confusion, and Glazier's shadowy presence strikes fear into the hearts of his foes. Nolan stands at the center of the chaos, his mind racing as he calculates his next move. With a wave of his tail, he manipulates time, slowing it to a crawl as he outmaneuvers his adversaries with strategic precision. As the battle reaches its climax, Nolan seizes the opportunity to strike, his movement swift
Okay,
and
he
decisive.
wins.
With a single thought, he collapses the very fabric of reality around his opponents, leaving them powerless.
Wait, repeat that for our listeners.
With a single thought, he collapses the very fabric of reality around his opponents, leaving them powerless and vulnerable. In the end, only Christopher Nolan remains standing amidst the wreckage of the battlefield.
Christopher Nolan's like, dude,
He
he's like,
just thought them to death. Is basically what
yeah,
happened. So,
he's like Scarlet Witch, man. He
I guess
reality.
in the category of directing, we present the award to Christopher Nolan for
And he won anyways. He wasn't gonna lose
collapsing
that.
reality around
Yeah,
all
he
the other
collapsed
directors.
reality. He wasn't gonna lose that award. He worked so hard for it. You know, he should have gotten it in so many other movies. You know,
All
good for
right.
him.
So
All
now
right.
we take all those winners and pit them all in a fight.
We can do that. We can also go to some other years and
Let's
do the
go to
same
another
thing
year.
and
Let's get
then
some
have
new.
different years fight each other. So
Right.
you have our 2024 winners. You wrote it down, right? Or
No, but
no. Well,
we can remember. We got it.
we well, it's in the chat GPT. We can go back
Yeah,
to
yeah,
that.
yeah, yeah. It was Jeffrey Wright, Mark Ruffalo, Sandra Hohler, right?
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan and Daveen Joy Randolph.
Yeah, Devine.
Yeah. All
All
right.
right, we could go to last.
What year do we
We
want
could
to
go to
do?
last year. There's definitely good ones there.
Let's go a little further back than just last year.
Can we do
Let's see.
2020?
2020, sure. Yeah, what was 2020?
Joaquin Phoenix won as the Joker. I know
Okay.
that.
Yeah, Joaquin Phoenix,
Oh, Brad
Tony.
Pitt's in this. Tom Hanks is in this. Anthony Hopkins. Oh, yeah. There's a lot of
Right.
classic
Renee Zellweger, Scarlett
actors in here.
Johansson.
Adam Driver. Yeah.
Well, Scarlett
2020. All right.
Johansson is in two of the categories. Holy shit,
I'll
she's
give
okay.
you. Oh. All right. So
All
I'll
right.
give you. What do you want? Do you want actor in leading role?
Let's just do what we did last time.
Because
You
I
do it.
did.
Let's you do the actors leading and supporting roles. Those two, and I'll do the actresses. And
All right. All right.
we'll start with an actor in a leading role. How about that?
All right, in leading role.
Yeah.
Okay, this is gonna take a minute. You might have to
All right. Well, I'll start typing one
credit
out. I'll start typing out if I finish first.
Antonio Banderas was nominated. I didn't even
Oh
realize.
yeah.
Wow, this is a great spread here. Great racket. So Joaquin Phoenix versus Antonio Banderas versus Leonardo DiCaprio versus Adam Driver. Man, yeah, this is excellent. This is perfect
This
for
is a
this
good
kind of
year.
thing,
Yeah.
you know? Versus Jonathan Pryce.
Wow.
Yeah. And I'm gonna specify that they have all their previous abilities and whatnot, because that's
Yeah,
fun, right?
that's fun. All right. All right. And Charlize
Right, we're almost there,
If I
Nick.
had
We're
to bet
almost
money
there.
on someone winning in a fight, it would be Charlize Theron.
Oh yeah, Mad Max. I'm gonna make the setting. The setting
Well,
is
yeah,
a
we
dive
could.
bar. Setting is
Ooh.
a dive bar in this. A more close quarters.
Yeah.
You know, they're drunk. Things are getting rough. You know, bottles are getting smashed on the head. Oh, come on, you can do this. You can do this.
What should the setting for
Right.
the
All
best actresses
right.
be? Okay. I'm gonna copy. I'm gonna do a dive bar for best actress too. We'll make that a theme.
Yeah. In the dimly lit dive bar, Joaquin Phoenix, Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Jonathan Pryce. Wait, did I forget Adam Driver? Oh, man. God damn.
You can just
I can't forget Adam Driver. Man, this was looking like a tasty result. Okay, it still gave me a similar thing.
All right.
Because, you know. In the dimly lit dive bar, Joaquin Phoenix, Antonio Banderas, Leonardo DiCaprio, Adam Driver, and Jonathan Pryce find themselves facing off, each armed with the abilities from their memorable film roles. Joaquin Phoenix taps into the madness of Arthur Fleck from Joker, his
course.
unpredictable nature making him a formidable opponent. He has a gun. Antonio Banderas. Antonio Banderas channeled the lethal skills of Zorro. Ooh, he might have this.
Ooh, nice.
His swashbuckling prowess ready to strike at a moment's notice. While Leonardo DiCaprio draws upon the charisma and the manipulation tactics of Jordan Belfort from The Wolf of Wall Street, his
Ah,
silver tongue poised to
interesting.
outmaneuver his adversaries. Adam Driver, want to guess, embodies the raw power and resilience of Kylo Ren from the Star Wars saga, his command of the Force giving him an edge in combat. While Jonathan Pryce, drawing on the cunning and ambition of High Sparrow from Game of Thrones,
Ah.
schemes and strategies from the shadows. As tensions escalate, the dive bar becomes a battleground, with each contender unleashing their abilities in a flurry of action. Joaquin Phoenix just dances through the chaos, his laughter echoing off the walls as he outwits and outmaneuvers his opponents. Antonio Banderas dazzles with his swordsmanship, his blade flashing in the dim light of the bar. Because also Puss in Boots, too, and Zorro.
Yeah.
So he has like twice swordsman.
He's good with, yeah.
Leonardo DiCaprio weaves through the crowd, his smooth talk and jive, swaying allies to his side. Adam Driver unleashes the power of the Force, sending
Course.
objects flying and adversaries reeling in the wake. Jonathan Pryce orchestrates intricate schemes, manipulating the course of the battle with calculated precision. But in the end, it is Adam Driver who emerges victorious, his mastery of the Force proving to be the deciding factor in the intense showdown.
Of course.
With a final display of power, he stands alone amidst the wreckage of the dive bar, the undisputed champion of the dive bar.
The dive bar. Nice. So,
Maybe this is unfair giving them their abilities, but it's
I think
fun.
it's more fun
It's
though.
fun.
So for
Yeah.
actor in a leading role, Adam Driver
Adam
for
Driver.
beating everyone else up in a fight.
And yeah, Marriage Story. Two people yell at each other for 2 hours. I heard it's a good movie. And Scarlett Johansson was nominated for that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's gonna wrap up.
All right.
Okay, you got yours. I'm gonna get mine
So
ready, Marvin.
I've got here for actress in a leading role.
All right.
In a dimly lit dive bar, nestled in the heart of an obscure town, tension crackled in the air as five women stood facing each other. Renee Zellweger embodying the resistance of a resilience of Bridget Jones. Cynthia Erivo exuding the fierce determination of Harriet Tubman. Scarlett Johansson radiating the stealth of Black Widow. Saoirse Ronan emanating the mystical proudness of Lady Bird, and Charlize Theron exuding the raw power of Furiosa. With a flicker of intensity, the confrontation ignited. Cynthia Erivo drawing on Harriet Tubman's indomitable spirit, surged forward, her eyes blazing. I feel uncomfortable having Harriet Tubman be in this fight, but she's just drawing on the power. That's
okay.
Surged forward, her eyes blazing with determination. Scarlett Johansson, quick as a shadow, leapt into action, utilizing Black Widow's agility to dodge Erivo's initial onslaught. Meanwhile, Saoirse Ronan channeled the ethereal essence of Lady Bird, her movements fluid and unpredictable, confounding her opponents. Charlize Theron, embodying Furiosa's ferocity, charged into the fray, unleashing a storm of punches with unmatched strength. Renee Zellweger, struggling. Yeah. Tapping into Bridget Jones' resilience, assessed the chaotic scene with a calm determination. As the others battled fiercely, she bided her time, waiting for the opportune moment to strike. As the clash reached its climax, alliances shattered and the battle became every woman for herself. Amidst the chaos, Zellweger seized her chance, her determination unyielding as she launched a calculated attack, exploiting the vulnerabilities of her adversaries. One by one, the combatants fell, their powers no match for Zellweger's strategic prowess. In the end, amidst the wreckage of the dive bar, Renee Zellweger stood victorious, her triumph a testament to Bridget Jones' unwavering resilience and cunning. So, Renee Zellweger for actress in a leading role. Good for her. She was the winner that year for Judy.
I don't even remember that, but
I don't remember that movie. I never saw
it.
Cool. That movie.
I mean, she's
yeah.
She's been in a lot of movies. Good. All right. So Renee Zellweger retains her award.
Title. Yeah, she retains her title.
Retains the title. I changed this one up a little.
Okay.
In the eerie silence of a school playground, Brad Pitt, Tom Hanks, Anthony Hopkins, Al Pacino, and Joe Pesci stand ready for the bloodbath that is about to unfold, each armed with their abilities of their iconic... I also implicated that they're bloodlusted.
Yeah.
Each armed with the abilities of their iconic roles, they approach the showdown with a ferocity unmatched. Brad Pitt embodies the cunning and brutality of Tyler Durden from Fight Club.
Of course.
His fists are lethal weapons as he surveys the battlefield. But he was out. He was technically Ed Norton. Whatever. Tom Hanks channels the courage and resourcefulness of Captain John Miller from Saving Private Ryan.
Mm.
His leadership guiding him through the chaos. Anthony Hopkins taps into the chilling intellect of Hannibal Lecter, his calculating gaze scanning for the weaknesses in his opponents. Al Pacino unleashes the fury and intensity of Tony Montana from Scarface, his reckless abandon and cocaine fueling his rampage. I added the cocaine part. Joe Pesci embodies the ruthless violence of Tommy DeVito from Goodfellas, his erratic behavior making him a wild card in the deadly game unfolding before... They're like 80-year-old men. Deadly game unfolding before them. As the tension mounts, the playground becomes a battleground with swings and slides transforming into weapons of war. Brad Pitt charges forward, his fists flying as he takes down adversaries with brutal efficiency. Tom Hanks rallies his allies. So he has like a World War II.
Of course. His
squadron from Saving Private Ryan.
Of course.
So he rallies his allies, his unwavering determination inspiring them to stand firm against onslaught. Anthony Hopkins lurks in the shadows, his mind a calculating machine as he plots his next move. Al Pacino unleashes a torrent of bullets. Yeah, Tommy. His manic laughter echoing through the air as he cuts down anyone who stands his way.
Scarface.
Joe Pesci dances through the chaos, his erratic movements making him a difficult target to pin down. But in the end, it is Anthony Hopkins who emerges victorious. His cold, methodical approach proving to be the deadliest weapon of all. With a final chilling smile, he stands alone amidst the wreckage of the school playground.
Damn. Some Hannibal Lecter there.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Lucky I didn't pull from like Odin, then that would, yeah. But yeah,
yeah.
Good stuff.
So for actor in a supporting role, it is Anthony Hopkins.
Anthony Hopkins.
For beating up, for killing everyone else. Yeah. Actually,
yeah,
he was nominated that year for the two popes.
Yeah.
All right, I've got actress in a supporting role pulled up here.
Oh, that's when Tom Hanks was nominated for Mr. Rogers' movie.
Yeah,
Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. That's a good movie.
Yeah, that was around when we did our
Wholesome People
episode.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
two
yeah.
Or three or something like that.
Yeah, early.
Wow.
The dawn.
In the abandoned ruins of an old industrial complex, five women stood poised for battle, each possessing the formidable powers of characters they once portrayed.
Ooh, this is a good spread.
Laura Dern embodying the fierce determination of Renata Klein from Big Little Lies. Yeah, they're not going with Jurassic Park here, no.
All right.
Radiated an aura of steely resolve. Kathy Bates, drawing on the haunting intensity of Annie Wilkes from Misery,
exuded an
unsettling sense of unpredictability. Scarlett Johansson, channeling the lethal precision of Black Widow. Why would they choose any other role that she's played?
Well, they could have choose Ghost in the Shell or whatever, the one where she has 90% of her brain working.
Yeah, it's not like she's been in other movies other than Marvel.
Whatever it's called. But Black Widow, all right. I'm sure she would love that.
I like Scarlett Johansson. She's great.
And then Florence Pugh, which I've seen naked.
Black Widow from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Nice.
Oppenheimer. Right. IMAX, man. Full frontal.
As intended.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
Stood with the grace... that hinted at her deadly prowess. Florence Pugh invoking the raw ferocity of Danny Ardor from Midsommar and emanated an eerie sense of
They could have also made her the Black Widow character. Yelena or whatever.
Yeah.
The other Black Widow. They could have done that, but I'm glad it kept it original.
Yeah. Only one MCU character. Please.
The horrible. Have you seen that movie, Midsommar?
I haven't seen it, no.
I seen clips of it. God, that's fucked, man.
I don't really even know what it's about. I'm not really paying attention.
Well, it's pagan cults and,
huh?
You know, they do all the old stuff. Like, I forget what it's called, where the old people jump off a cliff. And if they're the Viking stuff, man.
Like in the beginning of. Have you seen the show Norsemen?
Yeah, like that. But
Where it's like you have to jump off the cliff, and they're like, I don't really want to jump off the cliff.
They do that, and then they have to smash a couple guys over the head with a rock.
I apologize for my terrible
accent
there.
But they're still twitching on the ground and everything. They're smashing a rock, and then they burn people. And then they put a guy in a bear suit and like cover him honey and then put him in a fire or whatever. Yeah,
insane.
Yeah, it's a pretty fucked movie. Yeah.
Wow.
but it's.
You haven't convinced me to watch it. That's what I'll say. It's not that it sounds like a terrible movie, but it sounds like something I'm not into.
Well, and it's a horror movie that's like in broad daylight too. That's another thing I like. That makes
Oh,
it
okay. Well,
even weirder.
that's a more interesting sales pitch to me. Okay.
Yeah, that's all you need to know. It's a horror movie in broad daylight. Those
Okay.
All right.
And
Margot Robbie.
Margot Robbie tapping into the unhinged chaos of Harley Quinn from the DC universe,
Of course, you have to.
grinned with her manic glee, her eyes flashing with madness. With a silent nod, the confrontation erupted into a whirlwind of violence. Laura Dern,
I
her
like that.
determination unyielding, surged forward, unleashing a barrage of calculated strikes reminiscent of Renata Klein's fiery spirit. Kathy Bates tapping into Annie Wilkes'
Yeah.
unhinged rage, lunge at her opponents with a savage fervor, her blows fueled by a terrifying obsession. Meanwhile, Scarlett Johansson moved with the precision of a trained assassin, her movements
Yeah.
fluid and deadly as she embodied Black Widow's martial prowess to outmaneuver
She's
her
got, she has guns.
adversaries. Yeah, she has guns.
Usually, I
Florence
mean.
Pugh, I still love the with Joaquin Phoenix. He has a gun.
Yeah.
Florence Pugh drawing on Danny Arder's primal instincts, fought with a savage brutality, her attacks fueled by an otherworldly rage. Margot Robbie, embracing Harley Quinn's chaotic nature, danced through the chaos with a gleeful madness, her attacks unpredictable as they were de as unpredictable as they were devastating. As the battle raged on, alliances crumbled and the fight descended into a brutal free-for-all. Amidst the chaos, one by one, the cat combatants fell, their powers no match for the relentless onslaught of their opponents. In the end, amidst the wreckage of the industrial ruins, only one woman stood victorious. With a triumphant grin, Margot Robbie emerged as the last woman standing, her victory a testament to the unhinged chaos of Harley Quinn's madness. So is
Makes sense.
Margot Robbie for actress in the supporting role of 2020. She was actually nominated for Bombshell that year.
Oh, not Suicide Squad?
No.
Honestly, I think it's kind of a shame she wasn't nominated for Barbie. I know she's a producer and everything, and I know but yeah, Ryan Gosling got like all the attention for Barbie, which is like the complete opposite intention of the film. But I also his
I
I'm
have
Just Ken
if
performance,
you'll engage me for
good
a
stuff.
moment here, I have a
Yeah.
I'll keep it really short, just a minute, a little
Yeah.
rant. So at the Golden Globes for the People's Choice Award, I'm Just Ken won for the song, right?
It's a good song.
It is a good song, but there was a kind of a backlash for it, rightfully so, because it's like out of the songs in the Barbie movie, you know, because Billie Eilish did a song for it,
Well, that
What Was I
won
Made For? That won the
the
Oscar.
Academy. Yeah.
Yeah. Rightfully so. It's a good song. And the criticism was that I'm Just Ken winning kind of is ignoring the point of Barbie.
Yeah. Yeah.
What Was I
Yeah.
Made For won the Oscar, rightfully so. But because of the whole situation around I'm Just Ken at the Golden Globes, it makes me wonder if the Academy chose What Was I Made For to win because they actually thought it deserved it, or because of the backlash for that they saw with I'm Just Ken winning.
Well, it
It's
is
not that I
suspicious
don't
because,
think it should have won. It definitely deserved the award, I think.
Ryan Gosling did the I'm Just Ken performance and everything and
Yeah.
at the Academy,
It
so it does feel like
just makes me go like
they
it
pivoted.
was the winner that I think should have won. I think What Was I Made For it
Yes.
deserved it. But it makes me question kind of the integrity of the Academy and like, did they actually choose that, or did they just see what happened at the Golden Globes and go, we don't want that? I don't know. It makes me,
Yeah.
it kind of takes away from like the significance of it winning, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's my quick little rant. All
I agree. I yeah.
right. So now director.
Oh fuck. Oh God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I was looking at a different year.
No, no
What year are
worries.
we on? 2020?
I'll get it ready. You choose a different year.
2019 looks pretty good,
Yeah, you choose a
by the
different
way.
year. I'll get the director ready to go so we can. Here we go.
So Tarantino, he's gonna
Yeah.
Scorsese again.
Probably has a
Todd
shotgun.
Phillips.
All right, let's see.
Honestly, I found a really good year though. It's still pretty recent. I was thinking about doing something older, old, but this one just has a good spread of actors, so I kind of want to do this one
right.
just for entertainment purposes.
Let's
Even though
see.
it has a repeat actor.
Todd Phillips, Sam
What is a
Mendes,
good year for movies?
and Quentin Tarantino. Okay. Let's see what it comes up with. All right.
Man, I'm looking. Andrew Garfield's actually been nominated for a lot of stuff and hasn't won anything.
Oh, wow.
Pretty fucked.
He's great. Have you seen what's it called? It's on Netflix. It's the musical that he did,
Oh, Tick, Tick, Boom.
Tick
No, I
Tick
haven't
Boom.
seen it
It's
yet,
pretty
and I feel
good.
bad for not seeing it yet.
It's pretty good.
But
It's
I've
about
seen like a
Jeremy
bunch of
Larson.
his movies. I need to see that
It's
one.
about Jeremy Larson, who wrote Rent. Well, technically, it's an adaptation of a stage play that Jeremy Larson wrote that was
Oh, no.
autobiographical. So it's both an adaptation of that and kind of a biopic at the same time. It's really good though. Andrew Garfield is phenomenal. But anyway. Ooh, this is good. This is good. In the dimly lit halls of an abandoned movie studio, five titans of cinema stood poised for battle, each wielding the powers of characters they once brought to life on the silver screen. Bong Joon-ho, channeling the visionary intellect of Dr. Min Sik from Snowpiercer, strategized with his keen mind and his glazing pierce piercing his gaze piercing through the darkness. Ah, I'm sorry. Martin Scorsese, embodying the ruthless charisma of Frank Costello from The Departed, exuded an air of calculated menace, his eyes ablaze with a hunger for victory. Todd Phillips, tapping into the anarchic chaos of the Joker from The Joker, grinned with a manic glee, his laughter echoing off the walls as he revealed the impending violence.
Wait, who?
Todd Phillips. He directed The Joker.
Okay, so he's emulating. Okay, the Joker. I got it.
Sam Mendes, drawing on the steely resolve of Lance Corporal Schofield from 1917, stood with a quiet determination, his steel gaze steady and
Great movie,
unwavering.
great film.
I haven't seen it.
Have you seen it?
No.
1917? Great.
I'll check that out. His gaze steady and
Great one movie.
unwavering amidst the impending storm. Quentin Tarantino, embracing the wild unpredictability of Stuntman Mike from Death Proof. Didn't choose any of his other stuff that he's worked on. Cracked his knuckles with a sadistic grin, his eyes gleaming with a twisted excitement. With a silent nod, the confrontation erupted into a frenzied clash of titans. Bong Joon-ho, his intellect as sharp as a knife, orchestrated the chaos with calculated precision, his every move a step ahead of his adversaries. Martin Scorsese, his ruthless charisma unmatched, rallied his allies to his side, his words dripping with a honeyed venom as he manipulated the battlefield to his advantage. Todd
His
Phillips,
pose.
embodying the anarchic chaos of the Joker, unleashed a torrent of madness upon his opponents, his laughter ringing out like a symphony of insanity amidst the chaos. Sam Mendes, drawing on the steely reserve of Lance Corporal Schofield, weathered the storm with unwavering determination, his every step
He
a
weathered the
testament
storm,
to
yeah.
his indomitable spirit. Quentin Tarantino, embracing the wild unpredictability of Stuntman Mike dance through the chaos with reckless abandon, his attacks
Oh,
as
he's doing the stuntman.
unpredictable
Okay.
as
He's
they
doing
were
Kurt Russell's
des-
character?
yeah, as
Okay, cool.
unpredictable as they were devastating. As the battle raged on, alliances shattered and the fight descended into a brutal free-for-all. Amidst the chaos, one by one, the contestants fell, their powers no match for the relentless onslaught of their adversaries. In the end, amidst the wreckage of the abandoned studio, only one man stood victorious with a triumphant grin. Martin Scorsese emerged the last man standing, his victory a
Ha.
testament to the ruthless charisma of Frank Costello's regime. There we go, Martin Scorsese.
Martin Scorsese.
For 2020. That year he was nominated for The Irishman. Yeah.
Great movie, long.
I haven't seen it yet, actually.
That's what I have to say about most Scorsese films. Good movie, but long.
They're always long. But he's made some of my favorite films. I mean,
The Departed's still my
Gangs of New
favorite,
York
honestly.
is just
Gangs of New York is really
a masterpiece, I think. And Departed, too. That's great. Yeah.
One no one talks about, it's underrated, but The Silence with Andrew Garfield, Liam Neeson, Adam Driver. It's about these Portuguese missionaries that go to Japan. Good stuff. Anyways.
Nice.
No one talks about it.
Anyway.
All right.
I say we
and
got
the,
time for
and the
one
abandoned.
more. One more year here.
Yeah, I have one. This is from the year 2019. These are the actors,
great.
Nominees and winners from actor and leading role in 2019.
All right, I'll start on getting the next one prepared here.
You can pick anything or just whatever's cool. In the abandoned drive-thru, Rami Malek, Christian Bale, Bradley Cooper, Willem Dafoe, and Viggo Mortensen.
Ooh.
Stand ready for a brutal confrontation, their eyes ablaze with a primal fury, each fueled by relentless bloodlust and armed with the abilities of their most iconic roles. They prepared for the battle that lies ahead. Also, I didn't even have to specify that they had abilities. The AI just knows now that that's what I want. So that's cool. Rami Malek taps into the chilling charisma and manipulative genius of Elliot Alderson from Mr. Robot. His mind a calculating machine as he assesses his opponents. Christian Bale channels the ferocity and combat prowess of Batman from The Dark Knight.
Nice.
His imposing presence striking fear into the hearts of his adversaries. Bradley Cooper embodies the relentless determination and marksmanship of Chris Kyle from American Sniper, America. His sharpshooting skills ready to take down targets with deadly precision. So he's just got a sniper rifle. Willem Dafoe unleashes the unhinged madness and supernatural powers of the Green Goblin from Spider-Man. His cackling, he just is a Green Goblin. I wouldn't even have to specify that, and it would do that. The cackling laughter echoing through the empty drive-thru. And Viggo Mortensen channels the raw strength and combat expertise of Aragorn from The Lord of the Rings.
Of course.
Fuck yeah. His swordsmanship unmatched as he prepares to face his foes head-on. As the tension mounts, the abandoned drive-thru becomes a battleground with shattered glass and debris littering the ground. Rami Malek maneuvers through the chaos, his strategic mind allowing him to outwit and outmaneuver his opponents with cunning precision. Christian Bale unleashes a barrage of punches and kicks, his martial arts skills devastating as he takes down anyone who dares to stand in his way. Bradley Cooper unleashes a hail of gunfire, his expert marksmanship cutting through the air with deadly accuracy. Well, it's cutting through the air then, but anyways. Willem Dafoe hurls bolts of energy with reckless abandon. His supernatural powers, he can do anything. His supernatural powers wreaking havoc on the battlefield. Wow. AI's got good taste, I'll tell you this. But in the end, it is Viggo Mortensen who emerges victorious. His mastery of combat and unwavering determination proving to be the deciding factors in the brutal showdown. So Aragorn beat Batman and Green Goblin.
Damn, that's impressive.
Was a final decisive strike. Well, he's got the Flame to West, Andrew. So, I mean, come on.
Yeah. I don't know.
And he's got...
Realistically...
But he's... I mean, I think... Who cares?
Yeah.
With the final decisive strike. Well, he's got magic. Vague magic, because he's from Lord of the Rings, I assume. Like, you know what I mean? With a final decisive strike, he stands alone amidst the wreckage of the abandoned drive-thru. The undisputed champion... of the savage confrontation. So Viggo Mortensen.
Viggo Mortensen.
So we're going to do one more and then wrap them all out up. And then
yeah.
I like this group battle thing.
Yeah.
This is fun.
I like this.
Might do this again.
Yeah. Let's see here. So this is for
dumb
actress in a leading role. All right.
What year? In,
2019.
Okay.
I'll be honest. I don't know who half these actresses are.
I mean, I said pick whatever one.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga is in there.
Glenn Lady Close, Gaga, Melissa McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy. So we know,
three
fifths
of
them.
Yeah. Olivia Colman. Yeah.
Not ringing a bell. Well, I can look it up. Anyways,
right.
Put it
in the eerie silence of an abandoned theater, five women stood facing each other, their eyes reflecting a mix of determination and apprehension. Olivia Colman, with the regal poise of Queen Anne from The Favorite, exuded an air of calculated cunning.
Well, I know her. She's always the funny British lady.
Yeah.
Like the Cockney.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yalitza... Aparicio, donning the quiet strength of Cleo from
and
Roma.
We apologize.
Yeah, I apologize about my pronunciation. Yes. Stood with a serene composure, her movements graceful yet resolute. Glenn Close, embodying the steel resolve of
Glenn
Joanne Close. Yeah. Joanne Castleman from The Wife radiated a sense of unyielding determination. Lady Gaga, channeling the raw intensity from Ali from A Star is Born, clenched her fist with fiery passion, her eyes ablaze with a fiery determination. Melissa McCarthy embracing the irreverent chaos of Megan from Bridesmaids. That's like the odd one out here, the way the AI is interpreting it.
What do you mean?
Melissa McCarthy, like they're all serious characters, and then it's interpreting Melissa McCarthy
well,
as like one of her
character.
Comedy characters. I don't know what she
well,
was
that's what
nominated
she's
for this
known.
Year. She was nominated for Can You Ever Forgive Me? I didn't see that, so I don't know. With a silent nod, the confrontation erupted into a flurry of action. Olivia Colman, her cunning intellect at the forefront, maneuvered through the shadows with stealthy precision, her every step calculated to outwit her opponents. Yalitza Aparicio, donning on the quiet strength of Cleo, moved with a fluid grace, her movements deceptively gentle yet devastatingly effective as she deftly countered her adversary's attacks. Glenn Close embodied the steely resolve of Joan Castleman, stood her ground with unwavering determination, her every move calculated to withstand the onslaught of her opponents. Lady Gaga, channeling the raw intensity of Ali, unleashed a torrent of passionate fury upon her adversaries. Her attacks fueled
You know
with...
she's going to be Harley Quinn, too, coming up?
Yeah, in the new the sequel to Joker, right?
It's going to be like a musical or something.
I'm interested in that. I wouldn't say excited because I don't know. The Joker was good, but like also
the Joker is,
I don't know.
It's fine.
I respect that the Joker did like try to do something different with the character. which is why I'm
yeah,
interested in the sequel, because
taxi.
If they do something interesting with Harley Quinn's character, I think it could be at least worth a watch.
Fair.
But I can't say I'm not exactly excited though.
Mm.
But I'm sure Lady Gaga will be great. She's great.
Yeah, she's proving herself.
Meanwhile, Melissa McCarthy, embracing the irreverent chaos of Megan, danced through the chaos with reckless abandon, her every move a wild flurry of unpredictable strikes that kept her opponents on their toes. As the battle raged on, alliances shattered and the fight descended into a brutal free-for-all. Amidst the chaos, one by one, the combatants fell, their powers no match for the relentless onslaught of their adversaries. In the end, amidst the wreckage of the abandoned theater, only one woman stood victorious. With a triumphant roar, Lady Gaga emerged as the last woman standing, her victory a testament to the raw intensity of Ali's spirit. So Lady Gaga, she was nominated that year for A Star is Born. Still not seen. I've heard it's very good.
Sure, it's good. That song is. It was. It's a bit overrated because it's a remake of a remake of a remake.
Yeah.
So there's no original ideas there. But isn't that what Hollywood's coming to?
Remakes don't have to be bad.
No, but that movie's had like 5 remakes by now or something like that. You'd have the Christopherson version. You have the Judy Greer version. I can't even remember
the
versions. There's so many versions.
Anyway.
I couldn't remember who was like supporting actor and like lead actor, so I just kind of threw them all together.
Okay.
Of the victors I have.
Okay. Yeah. Let's just do.
And then who cares? There must be a victor. Bloodlusted. Etc. In a dimly lit car park, right? They understood that. All right. In a dimly lit car park, Viggo Mortensen, Jeffrey Wright, Anthony Hopkins, Adam Driver, and Mark Ruffalo stand ready for a vicious battle. Their eyes ablaze with primal bloodlust, each armed with the abilities of their most iconic roles. They prepare to face off in a fight to the death. Viggo Mortensen channels the raw stream and combat expertise of Aragorn from Lord of the Rings, and swordsmanship is unmatched as he surveys the battlefield with steely determination. Jeffrey Wright taps into the cunning and resourcefulness of Bernard Lowe from Westworld. I gotta watch that. From Westworld, his strategic mind already formulating a plan of attack. Anthony Hopkins, it's repeating itself a lot here. Anthony Hopkins embodies the chilling intellect and manipulation tactics of Hannibal Lecter, his calculating gaze accessing his opponents with icy precision. Adam Driver, you guessed it, with the power of the Force, drawing on the strength and resilience of Kylo Ren from Star Wars. Did you know he's from Star Wars?
No, I didn't. No.
Mark Ruffalo, you guessed it, transforms into the Raging Hulk, his massive strength and durability making him a formidable adversary in the dimly lit car park. As the tension mounts, the air crackles with anticipation, and then suddenly the first blow is struck. Viggo Mortensen charges forward. For Frodo. His sword flashing in the dim light as he engages his opponents in close combat. Jeffrey Wright maneuvers through the chaos, his strategic mind allowing him to outmaneuver his adversaries with cunning precision. Anthony Hopkins lurks in the shadows, his calculating gaze assessing the situation as he waits for the perfect moment to strike. Adam Driver unleashes the power of the Force, sending objects flying at adversaries, reeling with his telekinetic abilities. Mark Ruffalo roars with primal fury as he charges into the fray, his massive fist pummeling anything that stands in his way. In the end, it is Adam Driver who emerges victorious, his mastery of the Force proving to be the deciding factor in the brutal showdown. With a final power, he stands alone amongst the wreckage of the car park. Adam Driver, according to AI, Kylo Ren could be like any of these people, anybody.
Yeah.
Because the Force.
Of course.
Oh, I mean, the Hulk versus Kylo Ren?
I don't know. Yeah. The
I
Hulk's
don't know about that.
Pretty... I'm doubtful that Kylo Ren could beat the
I'm
Hulk.
Speculative. Yeah, that one.
Maybe.
But Adam Driver,
maybe
he wins.
Kylo Ren?
Force chokes.
Could
I mean,
give
I guess
the
if you
Hulk
can't...
a hard time.
Yeah,
well, just with like lightsabers, probably
sure. Yeah.
Would be annoying.
And this
to
is
the
Hulk. MCU Hulk. It is MCU version.
The MCU Hulk
version.
But
then,
I'm
like,
still doubtful.
Books.
Yeah, that was.
Anyways,
that,
Adam
that
Driver
was a
wins.
Lot of, yeah, all right. Adam Driver's the best actor of all time. It's confirmed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, at least the best,
so then you
the
do
best
this,
actor.
Then it's Adam Driver versus whoever wins this.
Yeah. What?
If you're ready. The actresses, are you going to do
oh.
them? Or...
Oh, no, I'm sorry. I didn't get that prepared.
That's all right. You don't have to. All
right. No. We got it. We got it.
I mean, come on. Yeah. This is dumb.
all right, so we got for the actresses that I can remember one. Why am I scrolled so far down on this page? This is
isn't it?
29.
Renee Zellweger won, right? And then
Yeah. It was
Lady Gaga. Whatever,
right?
What's her real name?
I don't remember.
I gotta find out.
It was Lady
you
Gaga.
You go on. I'm gonna investigate. Go on.
And it was Renee Zellweger.
Yep. Stefani, Joanne, Angelina,
Renee
Jeremy
Zellweger, Margot Robbie, and then it was Sandra Hüller, I think.
Yeah, she won. Yeah, that's good enough. Oh, Margot. Oh, yeah, because Harley Quinn won. Yeah.
Sandra Hüller and Devine Joy Randolph.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Oh,
do it. Once you have enough prompts in there, you don't have to really explain it as much.
Let's spice this up a little bit.
Oh, you're spicing it up, eh?
Okay.
How so?
I'm leaving out the whole they have the powers from their characters thing. I'm
it's
saying
gonna do that.
They fight to the death with a lead pipe.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just a good old fashioned good old fashioned people beating each other to death with a lead pipe.
Yeah, because that's also fun.
I love the AI stuff. It's fun, but when you put in the same type of prompt over and over again, you get the same
exact
formula.
Yeah, like what it did to me.
So In the abandoned warehouse district of a sprawling city, Lady Gaga, Renee Zellweger, Margot Robbie, Sandra Hüller, and Davine Joy Randolph find themselves inexplicably drawn together. Confusion clouded their minds as they stood amidst the desolate landscape, clutching a single lead pipe that lay at their feet. With tensions running high and no explanation for their predicament, the primal instinct took... So this is kind of messed up. They're just, like, confused, found themselves in the situation. Like, where the hell am I?
Women, am I right?
Yeah. Lady Gaga, tapping into her fierce determination, sees the pipe with a steady grip, her eyes blazing with primal intensity. Renee Zellweger drawing on her resilience as Bridget Jones. So they're still bringing in some movie stuff here. Okay. Just not for all.
It's going to.
Just not for all. Yeah.
But there's also a lead pipe.
Yeah, there's also a lead pipe. Squared her shoulders and took a defensive stance, ready to face whatever challenge lay ahead. Margot Robbie, embracing the unhinged chaos of Harley Quinn, grinned with a manic glee as she twirled the lead pipe with reckless... So they all have a lead pipe, I think, is how it...
Okay. All right.
Yeah. All right. Her movements as unpredictable as they were deadly. Sandra Hüller, with a quiet determination of reminiscent of her character in Tony Erdman, assessed the situation with a calm focus, her mind calculating the best course of action. Davine Joy Randolph, channeling the boldness of Lady Reed from Dolmite Is My Name, stood her ground with unwavering confidence, her gaze steady as she prepared for the impending confrontation. With a silent nod, the battle erupted into a whirlwind of violence. Lady Gaga, her determination unwavering,
she loves unwavering, doesn't it?
Yeah. Charged forward with a primal roar, swinging the lead pipe with savage force. Renee Zellweger, her resilience tested to the limit, deftly dodged Gaga's initial onslaught, retaliating with a swift counterattack that caught her off guard. Margot Robbie, embracing the chaos of Harley Quinn, danced through the fray with reckless abandon, her laughter echoing off the walls as she swung the lead pipe with wild abandon. They like that too, wild abandon.
Wild abandon. They love palpable.
Yeah.
The tension.
Sandra Hüller, drawing on her calm reserve, maneuvered through the chaos with calculated precision. Her movements calculated to disarm her opponents with minimal effort. Davine Joy Randolph, embodying the boldness of Lady Reed, stood her ground with unwavering confidence, her every move calculated to outwit her adversaries. As the battle raged on, alliances shattered and the fight descended in a brutal free-for-all. Amidst the chaos, one by one, the combatants fell, their strength no match for the relentless onslaught of their adversaries. In the end, amidst the wreckage of the abandoned warehouse, only one woman stood victorious with a triumphant roar. Lady Gaga emerged as the last woman standing, her Victoria testament to her fierce determination. All right, Lady Gaga then. Yeah.
Right. All that for that.
I have, before we end this, one more. We only did two directors. So it's going to be Martin Scorsese versus Christopher Nolan. Together? Just the two that we did. So, but I'm gonna really try to make ChatGPT give us something interesting. I have an idea. I'm gonna have them. I'm gonna have them duel. Like,
ooh, I like that. I like that.
They're gonna duel. Now, here's the question. Should it be like a samurai duel or like a Wild West duel? What do you think?
Samurai duel. Katana wielding.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. It's giving us something fun here. Yes. This is good. And not too long either. Cool. All right. The sun sets behind the silhouette of a grand temple, casting long shadows over the ancient grounds. In the center of the courtyard, Christopher Nolan and Martin Scorsese stand facing each other, clad in traditional samurai armor, their katanas drawn and glinting in the fading light.
Weebs. Weebs.
Nolan, with his steely determination, and Scorsese, with his fiery passion, lock eyes, each one ready to defend their honor and legacy. Nolan, firmly, "This ends here, Scorsese." Scorsese gritting his teeth. "Not until I've proven my mastery, Nolan." With lightning speed, they charge towards each other, their swords clashing with a resounding clang. The intensity of their duel spreads, ascends sparks flying in the air, illuminating the dusk with their fierce rivalry. Nolan's precision and calculated movements clash against Scorsese's raw power and unyielding resolve. Each strike reverberates through the courtyard, echoing the decades of cinematic brilliance they've brought to the world. The fight seems evenly matched, neither filmmaker willing to yield an inch. As the battle rages on, Nolan begins to gain the upper hand with his strategic maneuvers and flawless technique. Scorsese, panting, "You may have vision, Nolan, but you lack heart." Nolan, calmly, "And you, Scorsese, let emotion cloud your judgment." With a swift motion, Nolan disarms Scorsese, sending his katana flying across the courtyard. Scorsese stares in disbelief as Nolan's blade rests against his throat. Nolan, softly, "It's over." Scorsese lowers his head in defeat, acknowledging Nolan's victory with a nod of respect. The tension dissipates as the two filmmakers sheath their swords, the echoes of their duel fading into the silence of the temple. There we go. It's Christopher Nolan.
For Nolan.
Yeah.
All right. So I got Adam Driver versus Lady Gaga in the game of Call of Duty one-on-one sniper death match in Nuketown, 360 no scope, MLG pros allowed only.
Perfect. I couldn't ask for a better scenario. That's awesome.
No, that was good. Yeah.
Let's do it. Let's
but
do
I'm
it.
Having them fight off in a sniper death match.
No, I'm talking about yours.
And call.
Yeah.
Oh. But yours is really good though too. Virtual battleground in Nuketown. Adam Driver and Lady Gaga face off in a high-stakes one-on-one sniper match of Call of Duty, in Call of Duty, with only their gaming skills to rely on. Who seems like a gamer? Adam Driver seems.
Yeah, but I feel like Lady Gaga because
and I feel like
she
might play some
of
downtime.
She's not secretive, but like, well, let's put it this way. She like seems to separate her celebrity personality from her actual
so who
life.
Knows?
And Adam Driver, while he seems cool, he seems like a very cool guy. He also seems like the type of guy who doesn't know what Call of Duty is.
He seems like the type of guy that would struggle to unlock an iPad.
Yeah. So I actually do
he
think
was
Lady Gaga would have the upper hand here.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
I've known many Marines, and many of them struggle to unlock iPads. I'm sorry.
Adam
if any
Driver,
Marines
yeah,
are
yeah.
listening.
Yeah. Both Adam Driver and Lady Gaga, known for their competitive spirit, entered a match as seasoned gamers, ready to prove their prowess in the virtual arena.
Hell yeah.
I should have made it a Dark Souls PvP. We might do that for funsies.
Yeah, we can do that funsies. For funsies. Yeah.
Entered a match of seasoned gamers ready to prove their prowess in the virtual arena. As the match begins, the tension mounts and the sound of gunfire echoes through the digital landscape. In the display of precision and accuracy, both contenders maneuver through the map. I imagine they're doing dolphin dives. They're doing whatever era of Call of Duty is. There might be wall running involved. Who knows? Anyways.
I'm not
sliding,
up to date on the Call of Duty
spinning.
Tactics.
yeah.
The last Call of Duty game
As they
I
navigate...
played, like, seriously was Black Ops, the first Black Ops. So.
As they navigate the chaotic terrain of Newtown, they engage in a deadly game of cat and mouse, each anticipating the other's next move. But in the end, it is Adam Driver. He's a Marine. I mean, why wouldn't he be good at this?
Yeah, true.
Who emerges victorious, his quick reflexes and expert marksmanship allowing him to secure the final kill with a stunning 360 no-scope maneuver. I'm glad that he did that, right? With a triumphant shout, he clinches the win, leaving Lady Gaga in awe of his gaming skills. As the virtual dust settles, Adam Driver stands alone as the undisputed victor of the Call of Duty sniper match in Newtown, proving himself to be the ultimate MLG pro.
Nice. Hell yeah. MLG pro. All right.
Let's just do a funsy.
One more for funsies. Just do a... What should it be? Here.
Let's do actors that haven't been in this list yet.
Yeah. I'm starting to type here. So write a scene.
I'm gonna write a scene.
All right. What actors are we doing?
I'm making one. You
okay?
Can...
Okay. Let's see.
Keanu Reeves is one of my actors.
Okay. Okay.
Because.
Okay, cool.
Because I can, and because there's no rules. Let's do Keanu Reeves versus who would be Keanu Reeves versus Martin Scorsese. No. let's do
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, let's do that.
It's a good one.
I mean, yeah, that's a good one. Sam, how do you spell?
S-A-M-U-E-L?
Samuel L. Jackson.
I think.
Versus, who else are they versusing? Or no, just them.
Oh, are we doing a team battle?
Keanu Reeves versus Samuel.
No.
Keanu Reeves versus Samuel L. Jackson. Dark Souls PvP.
Nice.
Yeah. Parries are allowed.
Yep.
Parries are allowed, but no magic and no cheesing. They have whatever equipment you think they would.
This is perfect. This is perfect. This is a perfect way to send us off here. With a Dark Souls PvP.
They are both new game plus 10.
Nice.
And they both have the DLC. All right. Yeah, here we go. Oh man, this makes sense. This it's got like good references.
Okay.
In the unforgiving world of Dark Souls PvP. Keanu Reeves and Samuel L. Jackson find themselves facing off in an epic duel. Both seasoned players, they enter the battle with a deep understanding of the game's mechanics and the mastery of their chosen weapons and tactics. I like it. Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
A deep understanding. Keanu Reeves, known for his stoic demeanor and precision, wields a katana with deadly grace. His movements fluid and calculated. So he's got use a katana, or he's got rivers of blood, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
Probably Yuji Katana, but probably something way higher level than that. I just can't remember all the names. Anyways, he has that. Samuel L. Jackson, a force to be reckoned with, brandishes a massive greatsword. His strikes powerful and relentless. So he's doing the big sword daddy build. You know,
okay.
high
yeah.
strength, high vitality, you know, where you can just take damage and just swing that around.
Yeah.
That implicates that Samuel Jackson is just the kind of soul farming character that's not necessarily that good, but he's soul farmed and grinded so much
right.
that he can just do the big sword daddy build, and he doesn't have to be that good, and that's fine. It's perfectly valid.
He's playing that's how he wanted to play the game. That's how he did it.
Yeah, that's how he went. I hate people that tell you how to play the game. They're like, that's not. What? Fuck off, man. Anyways, as they circle each other in the dark and ominous arena, tension mounts with each step. Both players wait for the opportunity. I like this. I like this.
Yeah.
The video game thing.
I like this a lot. Anyways. Yeah, this is good.
Both players wait for the opportune moment to strike, their focus unwavering as they anticipate their opponent's moves. In a sudden burst of action, Samuel L. Jackson unleashes a flurry of heavy swings, aiming to overwhelm Keanu Reeves with sheer brute force. Of course he would, because of course that's what they do. That's what they do. But Keanu Reeves, ever the master of timing finesse. See, Keanu is the parry master.
Yeah,
he's the dex. He's got dexterity, man. But Keanu Reeves, ever the master of timing and finesse, expertly parries his opponent's attacks, turning the tide of the battle in his favor. With swift and precise counterattacks, Keanu Reeves chips away at Samuel L. Jackson's defenses, exploiting every opening with surgical precision. Despite Samuel L. Jackson's relentless onslaught, Keanu Reeves remains steadfast, his resolve unbroken as he presses the advantage. In a final decisive strike, Keanu Reeves lands a devastating blow, sending Samuel L. Jackson crashing to the ground in defeat. With a nod of respect to his fallen adversary,
of course,
he does the emote. He's one of those PvP players, a classy
soul player. Classy.
I love it. Keanu Reeves emerges as the victor of the Dark Souls PvP duel, his mastery of the game evident, and his flawless execution and unwavering determination.
It was skills over brawn.
Skills over brawn, over pure brute force.
I love it.
There
I
we go.
It. It's a good way. That was a
did
good...
you have one?
No.
Did you have a different one? Or are we
no,
done?
I didn't. No. That. I thought Dark Souls was a good way to end it there. Yeah.
We should do that more. I like that aspect of it. Yes. Anyways. That's that. We had fun. Isn't that the whole point of this? Have
just
fun,
having
have
fun.
A laugh.
Yeah.
Right?
Having some laughs. Having some beers,
anyways,
having some laughs.
Having beers, have a laugh. It's an All Drunk Podcast. Oh my God, that's our new...
That's it.
Have a beer, have a laugh. It's the All Drunk Podcast.
That,
new
that,
intro.
That's
new
it right
intro.
There.
anyways. Check us out on Instagram. At Odd Drunk Pod, give us a like, rating, review on your platform of choice. Give us a download, whatever you prefer. I don't care. And check us out next week. Also, check out Morning Oddities. We still do that. Sometimes.
Sometimes when we feel like
it still exists.
We've been.
It's still
happening.
Bad, but it's
but
still
it's,
a podcast. It
yes.
still exists. It's still a show. It's. Still as classy as ever.
Yeah, we have Vivaldi on there.
Yeah,
we're classy as fuck. We drink coffee
sometimes. We do sometimes. We drink ambiguous.
Sometimes we're just vaguely maybe drinking something that might
and
be
vaguely
coffee.
Maybe recording at a different time other than the morning.
But you don't need to know
but
that
you
it's
don't
not
need to
coffee.
Know. Shut up. Don't you.
It's a classy podcast.
It's a classy podcast. It's not like anything like this. Anyways, thanks for listening. Have a good week. Have a good day. Have a good night whenever you're listening. We will see you next time.
Yes.
This is not a test. I repeat, this is not a test. The Odd Drunk Podcast recommends you follow their Instagram and join their Facebook group for more fun content. To visit all of our current streaming and social media platforms, visit the link tree in the description. If you enjoy the show, we would be appreciated it if you would leave a review on Apple Podcasts. The Odd Drunk Podcast would like to remind you to drink responsibly and not to drink and drive.